And now I'd like to introduce to you Sue Holliday. Sue Holliday has had a deep influence on our culture. She's a person who has driven the change towards sustainable buildings and planning in a very hands-on way. She's the founder of Strategies for Change, an urban consultancy, but she comes to the job after many years as a senior public servant, including 6 years as the New South Wales Director General of Planning. During this time, she's involved in many prominent projects. One you will all know and that we all share in the glory of is the Sydney Olympics in 2000. Sue sits on many boards, including the COAG Expert Panel for Cities. Please welcome urban planner Sue Holliday.
Thank you very much. I normally think about big picture changes in cities. Today I want to talk about a different way of living in cities in the future. 3 years ago, I moved into a different neighbourhood. It was exactly the same distance from the city centre as the one I'd lived in before, but my life has completely changed. Rather than having to get into the car to go everywhere, I'm now able to walk everywhere. To the bus, to the shops, to the services, the post office, to the gym, to coffee shops. I work partly at home, partly in a shared office hub in the CBD, rather like a Qantas lounge, and the rest of my work is actually in a Qantas lounge. I just think that my lifestyle has completely changed, and I now only use my car to get to the airport for those wonderful 6 a.m. flights, for the weekly big shop, and for weekend trips. So I started thinking, how do we actually, at the neighbourhood level, start planning for cities that deliver that convenience and that sense of self-containment? We want that sense of being part of a place. When I talk to people about what they like about where they live, it's almost always those indefinable feelings of belonging somewhere that they talk about. So I think we need to talk about network communities rather than a big mass of a city and plan for them to work. So how do we go about doing that? Well, I'd like to talk about three issues. One is the walking issue. How do we actually make the effort to get to the local shops? How do we go around our place? Are we living in places where we demand from our councils that we want to be able to access those services in a good way? We like good streetscapes. We like friendly neighbourhoods. And if you're out walking, you meet your neighbours much more easily than if you get into your car and drive everywhere. We like that sense of safety when we feel that we belong to a place. We talked just now about community activities and gardens. I think there's a big movement happening now to try and find open spaces close to where you live where we can start planting food, herbs. Schools, housing choices that lets me, as I age, stay in the neighbourhood that I want to stay in if I want to downsize. Those kind of neighbourhoods are healthier, more empowered, and you will feel more supported. I think at the same time as that kind of living, we need to think about different ways of working. Many people think about, could I work at home? More and more people who actually have office jobs have businesses that allow them to work 1 or 2 days at home. Now that we are so high-tech and we can talk to Bologna just like that, we can actually talk to the office, we can take our computers and do our work based at home. Growing new businesses, growing young, small businesses is one of the fastest growing business activities in Australia at the moment. We can do that at home. Even older people managing their self-funded super fund, that's a business if you're going to do it well, and you can certainly do that from home. More shared office hubs like the one I have in the city, they should be more decentralised, more available, so that you don't have to have your own office, but you can share that with other people doing similar things and meeting them in mixed-use local centres. And then the final issue is taking on the challenge for sustainable living. We've heard a lot about gardens. We're going to hear some more about local energy distribution, solar energy for our homes, recycling waste. My council actually asks us to separate food waste from the rest, and then they put it into making compost for the gardens in the council area. more compact homes that are able to be more energy and water efficient and use less land. And as a result of that, we should be able to make the case for more public transport. So all this is about building commitment to use less. And I reckon that the number of people over 55, which is growing annually and will be well over 30% of the population soon, that group is a very powerful group to lead this transformation of our country. If they could join with families who are home-based around homes and schools and the kitchen bench, and Gen Y, who actually like living close to one another, like living close to all those activities, then I reckon we could make a huge difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Dan Hill.
Oh, there's a lot in there, Sue. I mean, on the one hand, we're talking about a new Australian dream.
The Australian dream came at a time when you got married when you were 20 and you had kids. What you wanted at that time was a new house, and the houses that were available were the little house on the quarter acre block. Now young people are deferring those decisions. They're deferring having children till later. I think the average age for having children now is 32. And young people actually are choosing to live as close as they can afford to where all the activities are. So I do think in that sense, if you take the 20-year-old and compare the 20-year-old of the 50s to the 20-year-old of today, we do have a very different paradigm for what might be an Australian dream. Yes, when they get married and have children, they may well want a more suburban existence with a house and the garden for the kids, but then when they get older, they may well come back into the inner city or into denser environments that I've been describing. For those people who want to hang on to the family home, it is really complex. It's complex from a taxation point of view, complex from a pension point of view. It's complex from the fact that they actually do want to stay in the neighbourhood they've grown up, where they know the doctor, they know the butcher, they have got their community garden there, and they want to stay close to that. So they need alternatives in that neighbourhood that they could downsize into. The alternative way, and some of the work I've been doing on housing, would say that maybe that big house could actually be divided into two, and they could actually sell off part of it and live in part of it, or lease part of it and live in another part of it. And we need to have that bit of flexibility about how we're going to adapt our existing housing stock. I know in Sydney, well over 50% of all households are one or two people. And at least 65% of the housing stock was built for families of four or five. So we've got a complete mismatch between the size of households and the actual housing stock. Having said that, I have to acknowledge that if you ask people whether they're happy to move from their three bedrooms into something smaller, most of them will say no.
Thank you, Sue. We're at the beginning of many Australian dreams, I think, there.